What was wrong with what the Jews did in this first reading? What was the sin? Magic. They're using God to further their ends. They want to win the battle. So they plug God into their plans. They never consult God. Do you want us to fight them? You want us to just leave? What do you want? Magic. Now, are they the only ones who do that? No. Do you understand how important it is? You know, we got the nine First Fridays and that type of thing. They're beautiful, provided they're done with worship, not trying to get God to do our will. He won't, anyway. But let's get the ark and bring it up here, and then man will win. God is going to do what we tell him. He won't. So the sin is magic. But we have to watch ourselves too. You know? Are we in really personal contact with God and wanting to do his will and love and trust him? Or do we have this whatever thing, the 72 rosaries? I don't think it's such a thing, but you know what I mean? No, we worship God. We obey God. We don't plug God into our projects. And it works out quite a bit better that way, because God's will is done. And God's will is the salvation of every human being on this globe. And so, anyway, it was quite a disaster. They learned something from it, most, anyway, that you don't, do all these whatever and then plug God into it to make it work better. When I say it that way, it's horrible, isn't it? I mean, we're going to use God to further our projects. Okay. Now, the leper didn't do that. He just said, if you wish, you can make me clean. I believe you. I know what you can do. Now I place myself in your hands. It's up to you, Lord. Now that's a prayer, isn't it? That's a real prayer. And moved with pity, this is the way they always translate this. The word underneath this, I think I've read this before, the verb is splanknizome, which comes from splanka. And splanka in Greek means the innards. Another, compassion. He felt compassion in his being for this man. And he touched the leper. You're never supposed to touch a leper. But he's God. He gave the law. So he can do what he wants. And besides, it's not against the law to cure leprosy. It's just impossible. But it's not against the law. Though, if he does it on the Sabbath, they're going to use that against him. Oh, gosh. You see how corrupt we are? Here, even if you don't know he's God, there's this preacher, this lovely man who's wooing around telling everybody how much God the Father loves them, and he's healing people. And he does it on the Sabbath. Something wrong with that? And our Lord confronts them. You have an ox or an ass in your stall, and it's a Shabbat. Don't you untie that animal and bring it to the water and then back? Of course you do. And I can't untie this person from their illness? What's the problem there? It's almost like magic, isn't it? If I keep the rules, God's got to keep them too. See, that's something wrong with that. Don't you see that? Why do I keep the rules? Why do I do God's will? Because I love him. And because I know that that's the way to bring myself to heaven, but also to bless the world. Why? Because I love him and trust him. So both of these readings are, you see, one, what not to do, and the other, what to do. You see, if you wish, you can make me clean. I'm here. I leave myself in your hands. Moved with pity, splanknizome, he felt deeply watching his brother have his skin rot on his bones. So, I do will it. You see, he stretched out his hands, and Mark is careful to tell us, and he touched the leper. That fellow had no one to touch him, even to shake his hand, since it was diagnosed that he had leprosy. And so, then he warned him sternly and dismissed him. Go, don't tell anybody, just go to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, and that will be proof for them. Because if you think you've been cured of leprosy, you go show yourself to the priest who looks you over and says, yes, you're cured. Then he can go back to his home. He can talk to his wife and children. But without that, he can't. But, you see, he publicized the whole matter. Why didn't the Lord want that? He wants everybody to know how much God the Father loves them, doesn't he? Because it makes for such a hoopla that they're not listening to what's really going on. We have healing services, alleluia, and God heals. He doesn't have to, but it's to show mercy. And we can't heal everybody, only God can do that, but we can show mercy. We can pray and help. You know, how many people downtown slept on the sidewalk last night? I don't know. At least a couple hundred. Now, they don't have to. As I told you before, the archdiocese has opened up many beds in hospitals and otherwhere where they can get out of the cold and have a night's sleep and a meal. But you have to remember that a lot of those people, for one reason or another, have a mental deficiency. And they're afraid to ask. And they're afraid to be with people. And sometimes they're not very good to one another. And there, we need mercy. Mercy. Okay. You remember, I'm going to tell you a story, then I got to quit, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure. You remember when St. Francis saw that leper and went and hugged him? And then that night, the Lord came as the leper and said, you know, thank you for that. And the leper was healed. I still have, she's in heaven now, a very holy old aunt, a really holy woman. She lived right in the middle of New York City. She was a fashion consultant for Milgram's. One of them, I don't know if it's still there, one of those big, fancy kind of places, you know. She was the consultant for Mrs. Cecil B. DeMille and Mrs. DuPont and all. They're all Jewish women. She taught them all the Memorare. You know, she preached in her own way, and they loved her. So even when she retired, when they came in, they would have nobody but Mary Doherty be the consultant. Isn't that amazing? Well, she finally did retire, and she wasn't much of a reader, but now she was reading this life of St. Francis. And I was there visiting her. She said, I read where St. Francis hugged the leper. You remember that? And that night, the Lord appeared to him as the leper. She said, I was on the bus once. I was going downtown. In those days, you could ride the buses. They were fancy, you know. And she didn't drive anyway. To meet her husband, Ed. And she got on the bus, and she sat down. And after a while, this woman came and sat next to her. And her face was all broken out, and she had a little box, and she was jingling it, you know, begging. And she was humming. And my aunt, who could not stop talking, I mean, she always had something lovely to say to people. She said, oh, you have a lovely voice, dear. And so they began to talk a little bit. They got off the bus at the same spot. Now, I had never heard this story before. And when they got off the bus, the woman, whose face was all broken out and so forth, said, will you hug me? She said, boy, I hugged her. And then she looked at me and said, you don't think. I said, of course I think. That was Jesus, ma'am. He still does those things. So when you pass somebody, make sure that you at least pray for them a little bit. That's Christ. And in those two instances, he waited all those years. She was in her 80s, I think, when she finally discovered that that woman she had hugged and talked to was Jesus Christ. So that's the story.